Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hey. All right. We all set? Okay, thumbs up in the booth. All right. Yes, talent is ready out here. Episode 143. 143. Doesn't that mean I love you? 143. I think that's some internet texting jargon. 143 means I love you because there's four letters in love and three in you. So it's one is an I love you. So this will be a very loving podcast. It will be the loving podcast, the 143 podcast. Okay, you sitting there? Thumbs up. All right, here we go. Three S's, Jim. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at that website for your podcasting pleasure, your binging buffet, if you will. And don't forget my landing page. You go to WGNplus.com. You go to the entertainment section. You see the prompt, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And there you will find all previous 142 episodes of this podcast, which can only mean one thing. You don't need Columbo. You don't need to be Columbo to figure that out. This is episode 143. 143. I love you. Isn't that some internet thing? Or some texting thing? 143, I love you. Four letters in love, three letters in you. If you text 143, I think that means I love you. Or if you email that to someone. Just a little tidbit. People say, what do we learn from your podcast, Jim? Right off the bat, I'm looking at the counter here. We're only 2 minutes and 45 seconds in, and you've already learned something. I've already passed on some valuable knowledge. And so let me just say, as you listen to this episode, 143, okay? That's to you. A big 143 to all you podcast listeners. Your loyalty and your listening is appreciated. As I've said many times, out of 168 hours a week, all I ask for is one. I don't think that is a big ask. You know, someone calls your house, they want you to donate money, someone asks you to donate your time, or, hey, you know, can you give me a piece of furniture, whatever it may be. That's an ask. That's a big ask. No, ask. A-S-K, I said. 1 hour out of 168? As I've tried to simplify it and really bring it down to something relatable. If you had $168, someone handed you $168 bills. Someone says, here's $168. And you go, wow, this is great. I have $168. And somebody that you know and that you at least like to some extent, I would hope, says, can I have a dollar? Can I have a dollar? I really need a dollar. And you say, initially you might be like, But then you go, you probably say to yourself, geez, I've got 168 of these. I can give one away, right? It's not really going to hurt my stash of of singles here. I got 167 that I could do whatever I want with. So take it. Here's a dollar. And you probably don't even think about it. That's what this is. I'm just asking for one of your $168. You've got 167 more hours during the week to do it with whatever you'd like. All I'm asking for is one. And if you're listening to this, I guess you are giving me that hour. So thank you very much. I will do my best to make it worth your while. And maybe what you learn or what you experience here can help make those other 167 hours more productive or more fun. Maybe it's going to put you in a good mood. Maybe you're going to, once I said, learn something. Who knows? So I'm not just taking the dollar from you like I would if I'd said, hey, can I have a dollar out of your 168? Hopefully you're getting something back. Maybe you're not getting that hour back, but maybe within that hour you will take away something. So I feel that it's an even trade. I really do. I think you're getting the best of the deal, to be honest with you. And that's the goal of every transaction, isn't it? That both sides feel that they've done well. They appreciate what the other side is wanting and needing. And at the same time, they take care of their own interests and feel that they've got a fair shake. I gotta say, I think it's a fair shake. In fact, I think I'm coming on the lower end of it, but I don't care because I'm here for you. So as we step forward here into episode 143 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I had a few different topics to possibly talk about today, and I will certainly continue to talk about these other ones that I was contemplating, but I really felt the more I thought about this, the more I felt I really do have to address this because as a few days went on, it just continued to not only fester in the public arena to some extent, but certainly it just continued to fester in my mind. And that's what I'm all about here too, is to share with you, and hopefully, as I say, entertain you at the same time. How about that Super Bowl? Wow! Three words. What was that? And I'll get specific because I could use the "what was that" in many areas to describe the entire Super Bowl Sunday experience. And I do believe it is my civic duty, practically, to air my complaints as well as, and once again, if you notice, yeah, I have a lot of problems with a lot of things. That's part of the Elton Jim charm. But if you'll notice, I don't just criticize. I also try to offer remedies, solutions. So it's not just finding the bad in things. It's assessing things in the hopes that things can get better. So, I mean, some might say, geez, Jim, you're so negative. Well, I'm sorry, there's a lot of negative things out. There's a lot of bad stuff going on that needs attention, that a lot of people are just letting slide. I don't let that stuff slide, but I'm not just the cranky old man saying, get off my grass. I'm also providing solutions. And I am very proud of the fact that several years ago, I started to beat the drum about how I felt that the Academy Award ceremony was losing touch and needed a real overhaul. And it had been declining in many years. And I had been pointing that out, but no one really was paying attention until, of course, the fiasco a couple of years ago when the wrong envelope to the most important award of the evening, Best Picture, was given out, and the wrong winner was read. And for about a minute or so, we had the wrong winner announced and coming up to the stage. If you remember how embarrassing that was. And after that happened, then suddenly people's heads were turning to say, what is going on with the Oscars? And then, of course, the next year, last year, the show was so boring and so poorly produced, and it ran way too long. It was, again, very anticlimactic. It was awful. And at that time, I said, look, gang, look, folks, this thing needs to be revamped. It needs to be shorter. It needs to cut out so much of the fat. I even suggested that it doesn't need a host. I said that I was not all that excited about or impressed with Jimmy Kimmel as the host. I felt it was a promotional tool by ABC, which airs the Oscars, to promote its late night show. And that's not saying anything wrong about ABC, because every network that hosts a big event or an award show does the same thing. The Grammys have had hosts like Steve Colbert and people who are their hosts. And, Conan O'Brien, when he was hosting The Tonight Show and had his own show, he was hosting different award show. Every network uses people in their roster if they want to promote a specific show or a specific personality. So ABC wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary with Jimmy Kimmel. I just felt as if I just was not impressed with Jimmy Kimmel. And all of a sudden, he did it a couple, two or three years in a row. But last year's was so terrible, I even said, you know what, there is no need for a host. That show can run itself. If, aside from the opening monologue, the host is hardly there. Shows up for a couple of little one-liners. And then, of course, in the last couple of years, does this time-wasting bit where we have to bring a tourist bus in or give out snow cones or ice cream cones or give out, didn't somebody give out shots or something at the Golden Globe? Some flu shot? I mean, it's just getting silly. It's an award show or it's an entertainment show. Make up your mind. And after last year's debacle, the Academy came out and made some sweeping changes. They announced one of which was it was going to be a 3-hour show, no questions asked, not just shooting for it. It's going to be 3 hours, and I believe ABC was behind that, because the Oscars is not the big ratings bonanza that it used to be. Award shows and big events are not the automatic ratings bonanza that they used to be. And we're talking about the Super Bowl here, and that goes for the Super Bowl too. Anyway, I give you that as some background, because as I said, I said there doesn't even need to be a host. Well, now guess what's happening? Through our zero tolerance world these days and our ridiculously politically correct world these days, Kevin Hart, the comedian and box office draw, very popular person, was attacked with some, dredging up some routines he did many years ago that had homophobic content. He had apologized for it many years ago. He said, I have moved on. I don't believe in that anymore. And still, he was being attacked. So he said, you know what? I've already moved on. I am not that person. I have evolved. That was in my past. And I am not going to apologize. I've already apologized. So the Oscars, so afraid of anything, all these big events and all these networks are afraid to offend anyone, which is impossible today, because it doesn't take anything to offend anybody. this country now, we have the thinnest, we have onion, I don't know if you ever remember, there's something called onion skin paper. It was about the thinnest paper you could see, you could have. It was called onion skin. It's still out there, perhaps. Take a look for it. That's about how thick our skin is today. It's really a shame, and people are being, trounced for things that they mistakes that they may have done or things they may have said, whether they were well thought out or spur of the moment, or in this case, a joke that that's the man's job. He apologized for it. He said he does not believe that, and still, we are in this era here now where it doesn't matter. There is an incredible standard that that no one can live up to. And it's running amok with our society. It really is. But anyway, Kevin Hart said, well, I'm not putting myself through this. So he dropped out. The Oscar gig used to be the preeminent gig in the entertainment world. If you hosted the Oscars, it really meant that you had arrived. And now it is one that people are running away from. Because there are some in our society that have taken upon themselves to be the moral police, the offensive police, and are sucking all kinds of enjoyment and fun out of things in this relentless, and I've got news for you, impossible task of not offending anyone in the world at any time. it's not going to work, folks. We are human beings. We are very flawed. And we are trying to set up some standard that is unattainable. There has been prejudice. There has been, and I'm not saying you give up, but you also, people also deserve a second chance. If you give people, you know, isn't that the whole thing behind rehabilitation of those who are in prison, that they get a second chance? I don't understand why a murderer or a drug dealer or someone who's done something heinous serves 20 years and people say, oh, well, give this person a shot. They've done their time. They deserve to come out and make up for their crime. They've done their time. The society has given them their sentence and they deserve a second chance. But apparently, if you say something or have done something that a certain small minority of people, and I don't mean that in a racial way, I'm just saying a small little niche person or even one person. Look at that baby, it's cold outside. One person complained about this song and it became a kerfuffle for a couple of days until people's sense came to their senses. But initially, a radio station took it off. Whoa, if somebody doesn't like it, they're offended, we have to react to it. No, you don't. It's time they start to get a little common sense here. Wow, I didn't even know where that came from, but I got this stuff bottled up, folks. But it does play into my overarching theme of what's wrong with the Super Bowl, which I will talk about. But anyway, so all I'm saying is I have talked about these big events in the past, how they need to be changed, and many of my complaints and many of my solutions have actually come to fruition. I don't believe that anybody from the Oscar Academy is listening, but all I'm saying is I think my radar is pretty good. And so I watched the Super Bowl 53 a few weeks ago, and it is in need of some major change, just like the Oscars. And I have been saying this for many years, but after the horrendous performance by Maroon 5, which has been getting categorically panned by almost everyone who watched it. I myself, of course, I thought it was a debacle from the first minute and a half when it was clear that Adam Levine's voice was not up to par. And there was clearly no way that that band or he had the performance chops or the charisma to carry that off. Not only in front of 80,000 people live, but certainly not on television. Their ability as a performing act, or lack of it, was very apparent from day one, from minute one of that. It was not good. And I remember I was at a party, and I just had to bite my lip. I didn't want to be the curmudgeon in the corner. And afterwards, I said to myself, well, I'm going to be really interested to see now what happens to see it. Because if people are saying that this was great, then really, maybe I am out of touch. Maybe I just need to go away. Maybe my criticism, this is just not my, maybe it's passed me by. Maybe I've aged out. I don't know. But I was heartened to see the next day, not even the next day, several hours later, how the majority of people who saw it said it was a terrible performance. And so I said, okay, as I said earlier here, no, I think my radar is still keen. It's sharp. I'll tell you, folks, it's a huge burden to be so far ahead of the masses. And it's sad that we have to get to the point. See, I'm a person who, I don't wait for the wheel to fall off the car. That's what we do in this country. We wait until something totally breaks down, and then we fix it. I don't do that. I'm proactive. And that's the way I am when I see this kind of stuff, too. I see the problems, and I scream out to the forest, and no one listens. And then 3 or 4 or 5 years later, when it gets so bad that it's obvious and blatant, then all of a sudden everybody joins and piles on. Meanwhile, I've been there for 5 years or 3 years. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying I think I have a BS meter, and I do have I don't know what it is. It's just an intuition of what is right or what is good and what isn't. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I do tend to look at things from an objective view more than most people do. Most people are saying, oh, this is a Super Bowl. It's fun. So let's just have fun. Oh, it was good. It was fun. No. I have a critical eye. That's why I started getting in the media as a young person. That's why I initially got into it, and that's the reason why I probably was able to write about it and talk about it, because I had opinions and I had evidence to back me up. If you watched Adam Levine and Maroon 5, there were no performing chops there. And then all of a sudden, these other two rap guys came in, which completely they didn't fit with them at all. There was no logical, introduction or segue. It didn't flow. It was horrible. And after that, it really got me to thinking about the entire Super Bowl, and to say it is time now to make the Super Bowl super again. It has not been super for many years, in terms of the entire presentation. The games you can't do much about. And even this year, there was a cloud hanging over the game itself because of the blown call with the Rams and the Saints, with many people boycotting the game altogether, not even watching it, saying it's not a legitimate Super Bowl because the Saints would have been in the Super Bowl. No questions asked. If that call was made, the Saints are in the Super Bowl. There's no question about it. There's no what if. It would have been. So there was a cloud hanging over the game. As I said, you can't predict a good game or a bad game. Being a sports fan and someone who watches sporting events, and I played football. I'm a football fan. I'm not a crazy football fan. But the best games traditionally have always been the conference champions. The last two games before getting into the Super Bowl. That's when there's only four teams left. Those two games are usually much better than the Super Bowl because those four teams are fighting to get in. And you see some really good football being played there. And this year was no exception. Both games went down to the wire and were good games. And look what happened in the Super Bowl. It was one of the most boring games, low-scoring game, nothing going on. Until the very end, and even the very end wasn't all that exciting. I mean, didn't you know that Tom Brady was going to march down the field and they were going to score? I did. That's what he does. So I have to say, it's time to make the Super Bowl super again. So tell us, Jim, what does the Super Bowl need? Well, let me just tell you one thing. If today, right now, week or so after the game, if the powers that be at the NFL are not having a meeting right now, a post-mortem meeting when they are looking at, okay, what went right and what went wrong this year and how do we improve it? If they're not having that meeting today and have not been having it already and don't continue to have it, there's something wrong. If they all walked away, said, nice job, and they patted each other on the back, then the Super Bowl, as we know it, is in big trouble and will continue to be less watched and, yes, less relevant. And I know that sounds crazy, but NFL football is already in trouble from a popularity standpoint because of the concussion and the violence of the game and the long-term effects the game has. We're seeing less and less young people playing the game from a young age. Parents don't want them to play starting in, before high school. We're seeing flag football team, leagues come up. Overall, the participation in amateur football by young kids is way, way down. So the league itself is in a quandary because at its heart, it is a violent game. And it's hard to play a violent game and not have violence in it. It's hard to have a game that is based upon hitting and not have hitting. So there is some intrinsic problems with the game itself. And now how it is presented only adds to their trouble. Because this Super Bowl, in many aspects, was a disaster. In a planning stage and an execution stage, it was nothing. It was fake news. It was fake hype. The game never built up to any kind of fever pitch. I don't think anybody really cared about it. When the game was on, it lived up to its low expectations. It actually exceeded its low expectations, which would have been thought to be impossible. So right now, the NFL needs to really get some guts here and blow this thing up and start over because it has continued to try to outdo itself and get bigger and bigger. And as we've learned, there is a breaking point, and this is the breaking point. And it takes guts to recognize it. I give the Oscar people credit. Instead of continuing to just pretend as if nothing's wrong, they put their foot down. You're going to take some hits, yes. But anytime there's change, you take some hits. And your first time out in changing things may not even be perfect. But the goal is we have to right the ship. The Oscars aren't there yet, but at least they have recognized that there is a problem and fixing needs to be done. It's still being tinkered with. It's still being fixed. But at least the effort is underway. I don't know what's going on with the Super Bowl, with the powers that be at the NFL, but the Super Bowl needs to be fixed. It needs to be blown up and needs to be starting over because it is going on a trajectory which is not good. Constantly bigger is not better. And there are many immediate and easy things that could happen to at least begin to right the ship. And then we could see where it goes from there. And that's not impossible. I'll use another sporting example, the Chicago Blackhawks. 10, 11, 12 years ago, when their previous owner, Bill Wirtz, was in charge, he was woefully behind the times. Home games were not televised, which was crazy. He got rid of one of their most popular announcers on the team. Pat, in team's history, Pat Foley, got rid of him. Nobody knows why. Disassociated the organization with some of its most popular players, like Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita and Tony Esposito and others, because for whatever reason. And the team was among the lowest popular among all the teams in Chicago. And then Bill Wirtz passed away. And his son, Rocky Wirtz, took over. And immediately, practically overnight, the entire direction of that organization changed. At one point, under Bill Wirtz's leadership, the Chicago Blackhawks, only one or two years before his death, were named by, I believe it was Forbes magazine, the worst-run sports franchise in America. Not just in hockey, but in the entire, all the sports, in the entire country, the worst run of all the major sports, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Chicago Blackhawks were last. Not an exaggeration. Look it up. Bill Wirtz passed away. Rocky Wirtz, his son, took over. Immediately, Rocky Wirtz righted many of the wrongs that his father was clinging to. He immediately put all the Blackhawks home games on television, which doesn't even seem to be a radical thing, but in Blackhawks history it was, because his father felt that if you put the home games on television, you are not being fair to your season ticket holders because they're buying the right to see the game and these other people are getting it for free on television. Completely ignoring the fact that if you put it on television and people see how exciting the game is and how cool it is to go to see a game at the United Center, you're going to wind up getting more people to buy tickets to see the game. And maybe you're going to actually cultivate more season ticket holders. Somehow that didn't compute in his mind. Well, Rocky got it. Everyone else got it except Bill Wirtz. Now Bill Wirtz was gone. Rocky immediately put all the Blackhawks home games on television. And within hours, Blackhawk fans suddenly fell in love with Rocky Wirtz. It was the easiest thing to do. It was the most obvious thing to do. But there was someone in charge who was stubborn and wouldn't change. When that obstacle was gone, the willingness and the need to change, the change agent, Rocky Wirtz, emerged and put the games on. So immediately, already, things were better in the organization and were making things potentially better for the future. Secondly, he went out and got Pat Foley back, who was fired for no reason, another fan favorite, another reason for people to watch the games on television and get ratings to maybe to make some money. How about that? Then he went back and realized that the team's history was as much of a part of the team's future. And so while his father stubbornly broke ties with some of the greatest players in the team's history, now the organization re-embraced these people like Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita and Tony Esposito and made them team ambassadors. And it was not a stroke of genius. It was common sense. And it brought old fans back and also informed new fans of the team's history and got people excited about the team again. And then the best move he made, those were all no-brainers, but they wouldn't have happened had Bill Wirtz still been around. And if Rocky Wirtz didn't have the insight to say, I'm not going to keep running this place like my dad did, we've got a problem here and it needs to be fixed. He went out and hired John McDonough from the Cubs, which changed everything. And that was once again, and that was somebody from baseball who never ran a hockey team, a big risk, but he saw the way John McDonough could run a team and said, I need that here. I need that organization. Whether he's a hockey fan or not at this point doesn't matter. He can run an organization. That's what needs to happen in the NFL. What Rocky Wirtz did was be honest with himself and with the organization. We are not in good shape here. Changes need to be made, and here they are. That's what the NFL needs to do with the Super Bowl. And you don't have to be a sports fan, because the Super Bowl is an event. It's an entertainment event. It is a pop culture event. So I'm talking about this not from being a sports fan. I'm talking about it from being an entertainment event. This show is broken. It needs to be fixed. And the first thing is to acknowledge that. And if this Super Bowl, 53, didn't show you how many problems you have, then the NFL is in trouble, in bigger trouble than it has been, because this is their showcase event. And it was a debacle this year, and it has been one for the last several years. But the wheel hadn't fallen off yet, so everybody just sort of went with the program because the car still drove. Well, you know what? This year, the wheel fell off. The Super Bowl is now on the side of the road with three wheels on it. It can't be driven. It needs to be fixed. Let's make the Super Bowl super again. Okay, Jim, how are you going to do that? Once again, off the top, I can change it immediately and make it better. First of all, the game should not. So let's. I got about three or four points here. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'd love to get your feedback on the on my Facebook page. If you're listening to the podcast and you think that I'm right or wrong, I'd love to get your feedback on this, because I'd love to see if I'm just talking to myself or am I making sense here? I think I'm making sense. The first thing, the Super Bowl must be on Saturday. The Super Bowl cannot be on Sunday anymore. It makes no sense. Yes, I understand the history of football has always been played on Sunday. And so for the big game, the highlight game, the ultimate football game, from a historical standpoint, you say to yourself, it has to be on Sunday. Wrong. The NFL itself has already broken that rule. The NFL has Monday night football. The NFL has Sunday night football. The NFL has Thursday night football. The playoffs to get to the Super Bowl are played on Saturdays and Sundays. Football is not a Sunday-only game anymore. And the ultimate event, which the NFL wants you to make a big deal about, they want you to have your Super Bowl parties. They want you to stop your life for that day. Well, then make it convenient for me. Don't have a game that starts at 5:30 on a Sunday night when everybody has to go to work the next day because you're watching the clock. Admit it. I was at a party. I was watching the clock. I was an hour away from home. I was looking at the clock. Oh my gosh, it's almost 9:00. I might have to leave before the game's over. Why do that? There was an estimate that 17 million people were going to call in late or call in sick to work, or did, the Monday after the Super Bowl. 17 million. That's not good for anyone. It's not good for the game. It's not good for the experience of the game or to enjoy the game. And it's not good for our economy. And it's not good for people to say, I'll just blow off work. Put the game on Saturday. If you want to have it on at night to make it a primetime event, fine. But make it Saturday night. People can have parties and people won't be watching the clock. And they can enjoy Sunday with their hangovers or their upset stomachs or whatever. And they don't have to take a day off from work. Super Bowl Saturday sounds just as good as Super Bowl Sunday. There's no tradition anymore. You, NFL, broke your own tradition for television money and television revenues by having all these other night games. So don't tell me you have to have it on Sunday. Out of date. Get with the program. You've created this event that you want people to party about, that they're going across the country to these different venues where you have the game. Bars are having parties. People are having parties. That's what you wanted. Good job on that point. But now the game has become something where you wanted to have a primetime game because more people would watch it. Well, don't forget, Super Bowl used to be on at noon, folks. Yes, it was. It was on like every other Sunday game. Many of the people today weren't born. But in the 70s, the game was on at noon. Then they push it back to 3. And suddenly they push it back to 5:30. That's too late. Don't even have it on at noon. It's silly. Have it on a Saturday. Super Bowl Saturday. That's a no-brainer. That could be done today. That can be done today. Next year, the game could be on Saturday with no questions asked. No big deal. Can be done. Can be done. Second thing. This halftime show, as I said, to me, this was the one that should have told everybody that the Super Bowl is in trouble. About 20 years or so, the NFL, to some extent wisely, decided we're going to have some big rock stars in our halftime show. 20 or some years ago is when the Super Bowl really started to grow as this big event. It always was a big event, but then it became showbiz. And the way that showbiz happened was, let's get some rock stars. And 20 years ago, there was a bevy of rock stars who were worthy of that. They were good performers. They were solid performers. Today's pop music artists are not performers. They don't have the charisma. They don't have the chops. Many of them have never even performed that much in front of people. They're studio creations. They're the Archies. They were born on talent shows. Rock stars, most of them, like your Rolling Stones and your Who and your Prince and your Springsteen and your Elton Johns and your Billy Joels and your Tom Petty's, they have been performing in ragtag clubs from when they were 18 and 19 years old. So when they get on that big stage, they know how to command it and they know how to entertain for 12 minutes. Maroon 5 did not know how to entertain for 12 minutes. 12 minutes they couldn't do. They couldn't pull off 12 minutes. It's time to blow up the halftime show. It really is. This may sound crazy. Most change is. You may take some hits from this. I made a joke about this on my Facebook page, but maybe it wasn't so much of a joke. Get rid of the halftime show. If you must have a halftime show, let's remember what used to be halftime shows at football games. Do you remember? It was marching bands. Yeah, marching bands. That used to be the halftime entertainment. Now you're saying, Jim, this is 2019. It's going to be 2020 next year, you know, for the Super Bowl. You can't have a marching band. Here's the thing, folks. The NFL has a rare opportunity to blow this up, not admit fault, which is rare, but do it under the umbrella of a natural anniversary. Next season, this upcoming season for football, is the 100th anniversary of the NFL. And the NFL is going to roll out the red carpet and make a big, big deal about the 100th anniversary of pro football. A lot of things planned for this. This is the perfect opportunity to put the brakes on the bloated, over-the-top, bigger-is-better viewpoint that the Super Bowl planners have been using for the last several years, and rein things in. Take a deep breath. It's needed, and maybe that would have been hard to sell, but not with this 100th anniversary. It's in your hand, NFL. Use it. Have a throwback Super Bowl. Change the Super Bowl. Introduce these changes, but introduce it not because you think the Super Bowl is broken, even though we all know it is. You make this change under the umbrella, under the standpoint of it's our 100th anniversary. We're going to go back to our roots this year. We're going to have a throwback Super Bowl. Remember how baseball teams, they still do it, they would have the throwback, they wear the old uniforms? And some, when they did that back in the 80s and 90s, some parks even like didn't even use the PA. They had guys screaming the names out with megaphones. Remember that? That's what the NFL can do. Using the 100th anniversary as something to peg onto, they can take all this off the top pomp and circumstance that they have allowed all this excess, this bloated excess, and they can remove a lot of it and introduce some changes. And there will be some people that balk at it. They will say, oh my God, this is dumb. Fine. Bite the bullet. Take those hits, just like a good football team should. Because I guarantee you, some of those changes, that after people actually see and experience them, they may say, that wasn't as bad as I thought. Because I got news for you, folks. If you think that a marching band at halftime would be terrible entertainment, right? If that's your viewpoint, I understand that. I can understand your view on that. I'm not a huge marching band fan. But my point is, if you say, oh my God, that would be the death of things. How terrible would that be to have a marching band on for 10 minutes during the Super Bowl? How terrible would that be? I have to ask you one question. Would a marching band that makes all these different configurations and get the crowd into it with different colored placards like they do and some special effects to float things in the air like they did here, but with a marching band instead of a rock band that had no business being on that field the other day, would a marching band for 10 minutes be any worse than Maroon 5 was? I don't think so. I don't think so. We're talking about the end result. I don't care about the hype. I'm talking about at the end of the day, would a well-executed marching band that plays some music and does some interesting choreography and some interesting fan-related things with cards and stuff in the seats like they do, and they create different images and things like that, and maybe there's some other high-tech things that can be done to augment that, would that be any worse than a debacle of Maroon 5? I don't think so. Now, the hype of it would be, oh, we've got Maroon 5. We've got Adam Levine. Oh, he's on The Voice. Big deal. No one cared before, and they proved to be terrible. A marching band would not be any worse. So instead of trying to be cool instead of trying to hype these performers and these bands that simply don't have the chops to perform on that big of a stage. It's not a knock. It's where we're at today. Many people, you know, that's where it is. But you could sell that. You could possibly sell that if you talk about 100th anniversary. We're going, it's throwback. We're going back to our roots. I think you could sell that. First of all, put the game on Saturday. Secondly, radically change the halftime show so it doesn't have a rock star or a pop star on it. Some other kind of entertainment needs to be done. This rock star thing, this pops, whatever you want to call it, it's been done to death. And Maroon 5 ruined it. It needs to change. It's only 12 minutes, folks. And don't forget, that 12 minutes can be used in any way you want it to be. There was a time when that was filled well by some legendary performers. Those legendary performers are few and far between now. And yeah, they don't appeal to your demographic. I get it. But the people that you're showing now, they don't have the chops to pull it off. That's just reality. If you want the proof of it, watch Maroon 5. That's all I have to say. Watch Justin Timberlake from a couple years ago. Nothing there. Big pop star, yes. Show his 12 minutes were terrible too. But Maroon 5. Get number three. Get politics out of this. They are succumbing to this, the political. We have to, you know, there was a big cloud over this because many of the performers that they wanted before Maroon 5 were African-American performers who turned it down, like Rihanna and Cardi B. Popular for the day, they would have been terrible to perform on that show as well. There's no way they would have been able to command that stage. But they resisted because of the Colin Kaepernick take a knee thing. This take a knee thing needs to be resolved one way or the other. It continues to hover. It continues to be an obstacle. People will continue to use it for publicity. The NFL needs to address it one way or the other. People forget that Colin Kaepernick, they say he's not being played because he's blackballed, but he wasn't that good the last couple of years. And I predicted many years ago when it happened that his protest was not going to be effective because it was ill thought. It was not thought out. He wanted to say, I'm going to take a knee until injustice is gone from our society. Wow. Okay, you want to go back to the beginning of human civilization? Because that's how far back it goes. But they need to address this, and they need to somehow reconcile this one way or the other, or it's always going to be hovering. And it's due to our political correct society, which is sucking the life and the fun out of things. Everything now has some kind of societal or political accent to it, and it's offensive. As I said, the Oscars, Kevin Hart was offensive. Now Colin Kaepernick, we are sucking the fun and the life out of our big events in this ridiculous effort that we think we're going to be changing the world overnight. The world didn't get screwed up overnight. You can't change it in 10 minutes. Meanwhile, all of these big events that we have, everyone now is under the shadow of some political correct controversy, which is taking the excitement and the communal fun out of things. I'm not saying that these issues aren't important, but they don't belong at the Oscars and they don't belong at the Super Bowl. And we're allowing the few communal events that we have, because we're so isolated now thanks to technology, the few big events that we do celebrate on a communal basis are being tainted unnecessarily. These are important issues. I'm not denying that. But they don't need to pervade every big event. That's not because what's happening from it? You're not the people that are for that say, well, that we are our issue gets all this publicity. It doesn't. You get people angry about it. Nothing's changed. Kaepernick's issue is not changing. Your resistance is not helping the situation. Kevin Hart not hosting the Oscars isn't stopping the Oscars from being on. It's changing it, potentially helping it or ruining it, but you're not getting anywhere with your cause. Whatever victories you think you're getting, they're flash in the pan, they're momentary. Oh, Cardi B said no. Rhiannon said no. Okay, that was one day. You didn't move the chains in your effort to change whatever your issue is about. Think about the long haul, not the short haul. Think about the war, not the battle. We've got to get political correctness out of our big events. The NFL needs to address this Kaepernick thing one way or the other. The other side of the coin is from a viewing experience. The commercials are done. Remember how everybody would love to watch the Super Bowl commercials? Remember how everybody loved that people would be more interested in the commercials than they were about the game? Newspapers and television shows would rank every commercial. USA Today used to have two pages of every commercial ranked. It became another thing that happened, you know, the NFL, it fell in their laps. Because all of a sudden there were some, you know, these companies were paying millions of dollars for commercials, and they were making sure they put some memorable ones out there. I don't know what's happened to the advertising world. All I know is, and if you don't think it's true, go back and find and ask yourself, when was the last really good Super Bowl commercial that really has stuck in your mind? Is there a Where's the Beef commercial in the last 10 years? No. The ads have been terrible. They are not worth, you know, turning up the volume during the game. I was at a party. The commercials passed us by. No one stopped at anything. No one was shushing anyone to, oh, look at this one. Even the newspapers, they maybe talked about two or three of them. There was no big ranking. It's over. Now, I'm not saying that anything's going to be done. There's always going to be commercials on the thing. But my point is, that's another aspect of the Super Bowl experience that has been diminished. That used to be a big thing. That's gone. I'm not sure how you improve that. Because it's up to the advertising agencies, and I'm not sure what their thought process is, but the ads have not been as good as they used to be. Clearly, they are not grabbing the attention and the imagination of the American public like they used to, which has diminished the overall Super Bowl event experience. I'm not sure how you can change that one, but my point is, don't rely on it. Maybe that's the way you change it. Don't rely on the commercials to add to your hype, because that's over. That ship has sailed. It's not just that this year they were bad. They have not been Super Bowl worthy for many years. Those are four things right off the bat that if those four things have not been talked about or not being talked about in the NFL right now, then the game is going to continue to suffer in the ratings. It's going to continue. It's going to continue to become irrelevant. I'll be honest with you. Unless there are really a compelling reason for me to watch that game next year, I don't think I'm going to watch it. I'm not some crazy football fan that paints his face and goes crazy every Sunday, but I certainly have watched every Super Bowl since I've been watching sports as a little kid. But I could tell you this. I wasn't watching all this football coverage from 11 o'clock in the morning until, which is overkill. I didn't care and didn't enjoy the halftime show. I didn't care about the commercials. I did care about the lateness of the game and how it should have been on a Saturday. That I cared about. There are a lot of problems with the Super Bowl, folks. Some of them are not easy to change. Some of them are. But NFL, you've got an opportunity here. And if you say, well, we have to keep Sunday. It's, you know, Sunday is tradition. It's fine. Then you know what you do? How about this? You have the game on Saturday, and then on Sunday, I don't know what it is, but that's why you guys have these people. And put me in a room, maybe I'll come up with an idea. You have an event on Sunday. Perhaps, you know how every city has, every city has their own, sorry about that, folks. You know how every city has their parade? Maybe the next day there's some kind of winning team related event in the venue that is televised on Sunday. If you still want to keep the football Sunday tradition going, maybe that's what you do. But the game needs to be on Saturday. So maybe you come up with some kind of cool Super Bowl related, winning team related event that the crowd can attend and that people can watch. I don't know what it is, but the point is you've got to do something. The game has to change days. It's that simple. I'm giving you possibilities, NFL. This is your job to change it. But I've given you four or five little points here where you can make some changes. And as I said, this 100th anniversary gives you the opportunity to do it and have an excuse for doing it. And I guarantee you, you know what? People are adverse to change when they first are confronted with it or they first see it. But then they get used to it. I'm not saying that you have marching bands every year. My point is, the pop stars at halftime is over. It's run its course. The game on Sunday instead of Saturday, it's run its course. Changes need to be made to the Super Bowl event to make it more relevant, to make it more entertaining, to make it more must-watch television, because that's what it is. You've turned this into a TV event. Your playbook now is stale. You need to throw away your playbook and start over. And you could use your 100th anniversary as that reason that you are pulling back the reins and getting and taking a lot of the bloated air out of this event and this weekend and actually bringing the game and the event back to its roots. I think if you do that, you're going to begin to right the ship. Maybe not next year, but at least you'll begin to make some of the right changes. And then hopefully you will be able to say that The Super Bowl is super again. And so that ends episode number 143 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Thank you so much for listening. This is Elton Jim and Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.